good God. Say, God is a good God. Amen. Okay, let's quickly read 1 Corinthians 6 again, and then we go straight into the teaching for today. The title is Temple of the Spirit, and we're doing part 2. About 2 months ago, we did part 1 of Temple of the Spirit, and we were studying from Romans 8. You know, where it shows us that if the Spirit of the living God is living within us, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, we quicken our mortal bodies. That's Romans 8:11. And today we will look at the other aspect of first of Temple of the Spirit. So yes, I would like someone to read, someone who has not read today, a youth. When I say youth now, I mean anyone between 11 and 30. Yes? Who likes to read? Isaiah, are you still there? Yes. So let me give you this one. Come, you can read from there actually. So 1 Corinthians 6. Yeah, it's a long read. So just read clearly and patiently. Verse, what now? Which verse did I start from? Thank you, my sister. Verse 9 to verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 20.
Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say, food was made for the stomach, and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us from...
You just pause there. Just want to emphasize that our bodies were made for who? The Lord. And the Lord does what? He cares. Say, the Lord cares about my body. Let's do this. Let's say it better. Say, the Lord cares about what I do with my body. We're coming back to you, Isaiah. The question is this. Why? Why does God care about your body? He says your body was made for the Lord. And the Lord cares about your body. Why? Some answers. Why does the Lord care about your body and what you do with it? Yes. It's not too complicated. He said your body was made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about what? Your body. Not just about your spirit. Not just about your soul. But about what? Body. Why?
Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, yes, but it's a correct answer, but it's not the perfect answer because it doesn't break it down. But it's absolutely correct. Because the question leads to the same question, which is, why is your body the temple of the Holy Spirit? Yes, coming back to you. You said your body was made for who? Have you ever thought about it? If you are a believer in Christ, your body exists first and foremost for the Lord. And he cares about what you do with what? Why?
I believe because in the creation, God created everything, but for a human being, he made him for himself.
Okay, so there's a point there which means that God did not create the human just like created every other thing. In every other thing, he just said, let there be, and let there be. But when God was creating you and I, well, not directly, when he was creating us in Adam, because we're all inside Adam, you know, we all came out from him. He said, let us make man. Something very different happened there. Yeah, why? Don't change your answer. Why is your body made for the, why is your body made for the Lord and the Lord cares about your body? Yeah, like I said, the answer Stamanda gave is right. We just need to break it down. Why does God care about your body? And why is your body made for the Lord? Yes?
I think because as we are in this world, we are children of the kingdom. We need to populate the kingdom of Christ. And we can only get around in this world with our bodies. We have to be in health, in good health, prosper to achieve the purposes of God.
Okay. So that's a good point there. I'll take one more answer, but let me just explain that. You need your body to function in this world. Do you realize? And the state in which your body is in affects how you can function. If your body is defiled, no matter the anointing you carry, it affects how you function. Amen? If your body is sick, it affects how you function. Yes, anybody try to improve on that? I can move forward. That's enough. Oh, yeah, no, I have to allow you. You know, we come all the way, you have to say something. And that's how I trained you. So go on.
I was thinking that because our body is the image of God.
Yes. Your mind is, you were made in the image of God. Hallelujah. Let me not summarize it. God needs expression in this world. Hallelujah. And God will not come and express himself. Even when God wanted to express himself, what did he look for? A body. Hallelujah. Don't say, why doesn't God just come down and fix everything? The law of the heart does not allow God to come down and fix everything. There's a law of the heart that to operate on this heart, what do you need? A body. Even when devils want to operate, what do they need? And they will use anybody who allows them, even if they are Christians. Hallelujah. You say your body, because you're a child of God. Yeah? God has things he wants to do in this world through you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we said last week, said if God did not have any purpose, the day you got born again, he should have transported you straight to heaven. Yeah? Any righteousness that will happen in this world needs a body. Amen. As the devil is using people's bodies for evil, God is looking for bodies to use for what? For good works. See, your body is made for who? It's not my first and foremost, my body is not even made for my wife. That's secondary. Amen? It's second. That's why if my wife requires me to do something in my body that dishonors God, I won't. Because it's secondary. Amen? And in heaven, she will no longer be my wife. We will both be like the angels who do not marry. Hallelujah. But in this world, she's my wife. She owns my body, but she's not the first owner. My body is for who? For the Lord. And in case you forgot, he said, the Lord cares. Say, the Lord cares. Why does he care? It's the same way why you care about your car. Do you have a car? Let me make sure. You know, sometimes when you have so many people around you with cars, you may say, what's even the point? If you need a ride, Isaiah, meet me at 9 o'clock. Hallelujah. Why do you care about your car? Anybody have a car here? But I give you one. Your car, why do you care about it? I forgot about you. Go for it. I'll give you another one.
So that it doesn't disappoint you.
Because you need, especially if you need to move things around, children around, it's like it's your lifeline. Praise the Lord. That's why the Lord cares about your body. He cares about your body because everything that God will do in this world, he needs a body. That's why God will not feed the poor directly. He needs who? A body. Praise the Lord. God will not deliver sinners directly. What does he need? He needs who? Your body. Praise the Lord. Please continue to finish. I just thought we should make that point very clear. That we're talking about the spirituality of your body. Amen? Your body is very spiritual. Because if it's defiled, you can't function. Or you can function a bit, but not what? Maximally. Sorry, while we are there, before you read, the Holy Spirit just does something in my heart. Sometimes, we are praying for healing. That's something the Holy Spirit as a pastor. And sometimes, the sickness is your body. The sickness in your body is a function of your lack of consecration. I'm not talking about physical cleansing. Because you're not using your body well to honor God. Yeah? That's why some things are in your body troubling you. Amen? And no matter how much we pray, we will not totally fix that problem until you increase your consecration to God. If you're allowing things to compromise you and defile you in your body, yeah? No matter how much fasting and prayer we do, so long you are continuing those things, they cannot leave your life. The problem. Are you with me? So you understand that's why sometimes prayers are not answered. You look like God did not move. There's never any fault on God's side. He is perfect. God is what? God cannot be wrong 1 minute. Amen? He can't. He can't. So if something is going wrong, it's on man's side. Never, never on God's side. Hallelujah. We are the ones that compromise. We are the ones that, you know, break the rules. And thank God for his mercy. God is not seeking to, you know, pull you down. He's trying to help you up. Amen? God is what? What is God trying to do? Always. He said, look, even your sin is not a problem to me. He said, if you confess your sin, what will I do? I chase you away. I said, okay, just go and sit down there. You know, human beings were like that. Someone wronged you so bad. He said, before I even start thinking of forgiving you, just stay there for 1 month. Just stay in that corner. I don't want to see you for 1 month. Do you know if God treated you like that, you will die? That's one of the ways I understood forgiveness. Every day I need God's forgiveness. And I'm not a sinner. You know, I told you I'm not a sinner, I'm a saint. You don't become a saint when you die. Dead bones are not saints. A saint is one who has been washed by the only thing that can cleanse you, which is what? The blood of Jesus. I'm not a sinner. There are sinners in the world, but I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. But a saint can fall into sin, just like a cat can fall into mud. But a saint will not stay there. A pig will. Hallelujah. But every day, even as a saint, you fall short, you make mistakes. Imagine God postponed your forgiveness. Say, I'm still cooling down. What you did, it wronged me so bad. I just go and stay there for 2-3 months. Are you with me? That's why the Bible says that if we do not forgive our fellow men their trespasses. I read that thing and sometimes I think we forget this thing as if it's not God that wrote it. He said, for if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither. I don't know if you understand. It was like, as if it was Apostle Peter that said it. It's Jesus. He said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither. That means that all that time I'm refusing to forgive them, my prayers are just bouncing. Hallelujah. Then you blame God. Say, God, why are you not hearing my prayer? Hallelujah. This is so deep. So that's why I say, to walk with God, you need a lot of humility. Hallelujah. The more I understand God, the more I say, Lord, you know, I just need to bow myself before you and follow you. I'm not questioning God. I'm following him and he's helping me. Amen? Amen? God, I'm following him and he's what? Praise the Lord. Say, my body is for the Lord. First and foremost. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I understand that I'm a temple. I'm special. My body is just not anybody, and I don't do just anything with my body. I don't even just put on anything on my body. Because my body is what? It's a temple. I'm royal. I'm more royal than the queen. Because our kingdom is of this world. But when Jesus came, he said, my kingdom is not what? Of this world. He said, if it was of this world, I would have told my father to give me many angels. They would have destroyed all these people. He said, my kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, my body is for the Lord. For good works. Works of righteousness. Hallelujah! You know, every
Every time I walk in love, I'm excited. I sow good seed. Every time I forgive somebody who doesn't deserve my forgiveness, I'm excited. It's good seed. Amen? Every time I humble myself and I take rubbish, when I could have showed pepper, I'm excited because I've done it the way of God. He said that you may be like your heavenly Father who causes his rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. Hallelujah. That's your calling. Say, that's my calling. To be like my heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Don't look around and compare yourself with people who don't know what they are doing. Don't. You know what? In heaven, they won't stand with you and be your lawyer. Hallelujah. Even if you fall sick on earth, the best they will do for you is sorry. They won't heal you. They can't heal you. Can they heal you? Please continue reading, Isaiah. I got you today. Yeah?
Yeah.
You know how it feels now. Yeah. To be doing something and then they push you. Continue. He said, the Lord, the body is for the Lord. That's where we paused you. First Corinthians 6. What verse are you now?
14.
Please continue.
And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? You should.
Bible says my body is a part of Christ. You know, if I understand that revelation, when Satan shows up, I can tell him that this thing here is a part of Christ. You don't have any right to oppress it. Hallelujah. But if I've been messing around with my body, I'm not bold to say that. But if I've been using my body to serve God, not just to serve party and pleasure, yeah? I'm bold to say that. Hallelujah. Hello, are you with me? When I wake up on Sunday morning and I come to set up the church, carry stuff, stress myself, sweat it out, yeah? You know what I tell God? I say, Father, it's a privilege to serve you. Now, listen. When Satan shows up, I remind him, I say, this body, I'm using it to do what? To serve God. You do not have any right to put that on me. I'm confident. Amen? During the week, my guns in my front teeth just showed up. The first thing that's coming to my mind is antibiotics. I don't take medicine. I'm not on medicine. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take medicine. I just operate on that level. I have to, for your sake. Praise the Lord. Not even paracetamol. And I don't take it because I am operating at a higher level. But it belongs to you. I'm not boasting. I'm using it to encourage you that it belongs to you. Praise the Lord. But I'm still a human being, isn't it? I'm thinking, you know, you feel the pain. You feel the swelling. So you're thinking what? Antibiotics. Hallelujah. But thank God. I remember I said, my body is what? It's for the Lord. My body is what? What is my body to be used for? Righteousness. Hallelujah. My body is for what? I don't know about you, what you want to do with your body. But my body is what? It's for righteousness. My body is for works of righteousness. I have committed it to your kingdom come. I'm ready to die for it. It's for righteousness. So I'm asking myself, how can I function? With this thing disturbing me. So I turned my mind away from antibiotics. I said, in the name of Jesus, you swelling in my body. But don't make the mistake that it will leave immediately sometimes. Many times it may not leave immediately. That Bible says that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. Is that where he stopped? Is that what he stopped? Mark 11:22. He said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. Then we stopped there. He said, I've spoken. It didn't work. No, that's not what he said. He said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says we come to pass, he will have whatever he says. So when I've spoken like that, the next thing I need to do is put my mind off the swelling and the pain. Because if I don't, I cannot concentrate on what I've said. Praise the Lord. I need to also put my mind off antibiotics. Hallelujah. Because if antibiotics can kill it, what about the power of God? Hallelujah. I say if antibiotics can do it, what about the anointing? So I put my mind off it. First day is still there. But I stopped looking at it. I started looking at the cross. I started looking at Jesus. I started looking at my body that is the temple of what? Of the Holy Spirit. And what do you think will happen eventually? You can predict it. If you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you said will come to pass, you will have what? What do you say? But there's a fight of faith there. You have to believe that what you said will come to pass. You have to stop considering the symptoms and start considering the victory. Praise the Lord. No, I said that, but it's for somebody. That whatever it is that is oppressing you now, you can have the victory. But that victory starts from you recognizing that your body is for who? What the Lord? It's like somebody coming to me. They got a job. Are you with me? Somebody got a job. A whole year. They never paid tithes. A whole year. Yeah? They never. They now come back to God and say, God, I need a promotion. What is the incentive for God to answer that prayer? Somebody step up and tell me, what's the incentive? Because what you have, you did not partner with God. You love Him with your mouth, but your heart is where? It's far. It's on holiday and fun and saving for your future. So that's not true love. Amen? Jesus said, if you love me, what will you do? You will obey my commandment. John 15. If you love me, what's the proof of love? Obedience. Hallelujah. So when you understand that I am using my body for good works. Say that to yourself. Say, I'm using my body for works of righteousness. Because I am in the world, people will find breakthrough. That's a good reason to live. Hallelujah. When I am raptured, so I told you I will not die. What will I do? I'll be raptured. You don't even know. The rapture is much nearer than you thought. So when I'm raptured, what I want people to remember me for is that this person. I don't want people to remember me for how much money I had. It means nothing. I don't even want people to remember me for how much friends I had. It means nothing. I don't want people to remember me for how much parties I organized. It means nothing. I want people to remember me that this person touched my life for good. Because he lived, I made it. Hallelujah. And that's very humbling. Hallelujah. It's very humbling for me. For me as a husband, now what drives me? To take what I can't take normally. And I'm not saying my wife is a bad woman. I'm just saying she's a human being. Praise the Lord. As a father, yeah? That what drives me to do the things that are not convenient, the sacrifices are not convenient, because I'm not saying my children are bad children, but they are human beings. Human beings are not perfect. None. Nobody. Hallelujah. If you're going to work with a human being, what do you need first and foremost? Brother Gideon, I think you're very experienced. Give me that mic. You want to work with a human being. What's the first thing you need to work with any human being? Any son or daughter of Adam?
Patience.
Everyone, put your hands together, Brother Gideon. I knew you must know the answer. It's patience. It's patience. Hallelujah. We can measure your maturity by your patience. Hello? We can measure your maturity how? When you master patience, yeah, you can conquer anything. Hallelujah. When you master patience, what can you conquer? Anything. Anything. Hallelujah. What? Anything. Anything. You can conquer anything. That's the way of God. See, my body belongs to the Lord. Did you finish reading? Please finish. Let me ask you another question.
Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him.
One spirit.
Run from sexual sin.
Run. Flee. From what?
From sexual immorality.
Why? Continue.
No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does.
Now listen to that one. I will explain to you because I don't think it's been properly explained. He said, no other sin so clearly what?
So clearly affects the body as this
so
one does.
So clearly affects the body as this. I will explain to you. Yes, continue.
For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body.
Sexual immorality is not just a sin against God. It's a sin against what? Your body. I will explain it. I will explain it. Yeah, continue.
Don't you realize that your body is the temple?
This is the real thing there. This is where we're going. So don't you realize that your body is what? Is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen? Thank you, Isaiah. Now, question is this. What does it mean to sin against your body? Let's break it down. So for many years, I just read that and I just took it like that. I never understood it deeper. When you say sexual immorality is a sin against your body, what does that mean? What does it mean to sin against your body? Anybody? The answer is not complicated, very simple. So, if your answer is complicated, you are not getting it right. Simple answer. Yes?
So, if you're made whole, and you're... So, when you're saved, your flesh isn't saved, but your spirit is saved. So, when you sin against your body, you're sinning against your spirit as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay, but it's not as simple, you know. What does it mean to sin against your body?
To make it impure.
Impure? Yes, that's in right direction. Not perfect. To make it impure, yes.
Doing things with your body that are ungodly.
Okay, doing things with your body that are ungodly, that's right. But it's not my perfect answer. They are still spiritual. I want you to bring it to a level.
You're joining it with a prostitute.
Okay, yeah, all these are spiritual answers. And they're correct, absolutely correct. But what does it simplify? Yeah, continue.
You're just harming yourself.
To harm yourself, yes. Let's have a youth there. All the answers are correct. Don't misunderstand me.
You're not doing anything to benefit your body.
You're not doing it, so that's the reverse. Praise the Lord. To sin against your body means to do something that is harmful and damaging to your body. Hello? So, for example, let me give you an example. Sickness is a sin against your body. Because sickness is harmful and what? And damaging. And that's why sickness does not glorify God. Don't accommodate sickness and say, ah, it's the Lord. What happened to the devil? Praise the Lord. If you're going to fight something, you need to at least know where it's coming from. Maybe Lord sent it because I was disobedient. What happened to repentance? Hello? God gave you something because you are disobedient. How do you remove it from your life? You repent. After you repented, if it's still there, it's no longer God. Praise the Lord. If your disobedience led you into sickness, how do you come out of it? You repent. He said, if we confess our sins, what will he do? He is faithful and just to forgive us and to what? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From the day I repent, I'm on demand. If you refuse to repent, you may not be on demand. But from the day you repent, what are you? On demand. Hallelujah. Sinning against your body means doing something that is harmful and damaging. So do not see sexual immorality as just a sin against God. In fact, the revelation I have is that every sin is harmful to us. Hello? If God steps in and says,
Tell your daughter, don't go to where do you normally go to?
Coventry.
Next weekend, don't go. It's not like guess. He told you clearly. If you go, it's harmful to you. God never tells you to do anything for his own sake. He's perfect. If God told you to give, for example, if you don't give, who is the harmful to? You may not give to the church and say, I'm not giving to the church. I mean, if I'm running this church, there are people who give and there are people who don't give. I know them. And I don't judge them because I have to love everybody. I love you all. Amen? But your not giving will not stop the work of God. It will stop you. Amen? There are some problems in your life you are fasting for. You didn't need fasting. You just needed obedience. Amen? Some of us in this church, if you can just improve your attitude towards God. Some of us in this church, you have a very poor attitude towards God. You're always late. You don't come to church. You don't give. That's why some problems must remain in your life. And I pray for you. I'm not the source of the problem. You are. Are you with me? You are the source. Because anytime you don't do what God tells you to do, who loses out? God? Can God lose? Is it possible that God will lose? In fact, let me tell you another thing. The church of God cannot lose. Because everything you don't do for God, God will raise somebody else. He must raise somebody else. He must. In fact, he even dare say, if these people refuse to praise me, God will raise up stones. You thought it was just a metaphor. It's not a metaphor. He was telling them a real thing. They didn't get it. It's a prophecy. When the Jews refused to accept Jesus, who did he raise up? Who are the stones he raised up? Gentiles for 2,000 years. Almost 2,000 years, yeah? God effectively stopped dealing with the Jews. You know how we can prove that God stopped dealing with them? There's no temple. The Jewish religion is not complete without a temple. Because without the temple, there's no sacrifice for sin. The sacrifice for sin can only be done in the temple. So no matter a Jew that is passing a Jew, if there's no temple, they have no way to sacrifice for their sins. He raised those stones. Of course, God is going back. God is going back to the Jews. Straight after the rapture, God will start dealing with the Jews again. The temple will come back. That way, God will save both Jew and Gentiles. God is a good God. Amen? Say to yourself, say, I choose to be on God's side. It's for my benefit. Praise the Lord. It cannot get simpler than that. The day you understand that if I follow God and do what he tells me, I benefit. That's the secret to living victoriously. Hallelujah. It's a secret. It's a secret. How did Abraham become a great man? God just came and said, go and do it. And he did it. How many pounds did he pay God? It's just obedience. Praise the Lord. Let me ask one question. And we finish there. And continue next time. To sin against your body means to do something that is harmful and damaging to your body. The Bible says that sexual immorality is harmful and damaging to your body. My question is this, why? Let's explore. I want five reasons. Why is sexual immorality, in fact, according to the Bible, is the most harmful and damaging thing that can happen to your body? That means that sexual immorality is more harmful than sickness to your body. Why? Come on, church. You're very intelligent people. What? Yes, your body is the temple of the spirit. That's right. So, sexual immorality reduces your ability to function as a temple. Because a temple must be what? Holy. But that's not all. Let's take it physical. Why?
Because this is the sin that you commit with both your body and the soul.
Thank you. Yes, you are very close to the answer. In fact, even not just your soul, what about your spirit? Look, what we're saying is, look, if I say to my son, you know, don't play in the rain, because if you play in the rain, you can slip up, and then he goes out and, you know, plays hard in the rain and slips us and, you know, sprains. He didn't break it. He sprained his bones, yeah? He sinned against his body, but he's not sinning against his spirit. Yeah?
It's not a spiritual sin. It's just a physical harm to the body. But the sexual immorality crosses spirit, soul, and body. Yes? Give me more answers. Why is it a sin against your body? Sexual immorality. Tell me. Come on, we need to break it down. That's how I like to teach. Sorry.
Because our bodies were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our
because
bodies.
If that's all you remember today, remember it. Say, my body belongs to the Lord. It's for good works. Now, don't stand in condemnation. If something has happened in the past, because you know, I always teach in this, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, what's he doing? He's faithful and just to forgive us. But I'm still teaching you. What I'm doing now is energizing you with the word of God so that it will not happen in the future. Praise God. If you have any desire here in this church, don't think you're the only one that has desire. Don't think you're the strongest man in this church. You are probably not. Hallelujah. I'm talking of in terms of desire. I don't mean spiritually. Don't think you're the strongest. There are people in this church that are stronger than you, and there are people out there that are stronger. Don't think that you have entitlement. Your entitlement is how many? How many entitlements do you have? One wife. Is that not good enough? Do you know what it means to permanently have a whole human being in your life dedicated to you? Do you know what? Can you create one? Praise the Lord. Let me just break it simple for time. The reason why sexual immorality is a sin against your body, above all other sins you do against your body. For example, if you are smoking, you are sinning against your body. Because you are damaging it. Are you with me? It's not just because God will catch you. You are damaging it. Some people have died early because of what? Of smoking. If you are drinking alcohol, it's a sin against your body. Because in the minimum, what are you doing to your liver? You are frying it. Or you disagree. Doctor, did you disagree now? I'll give you the mic. Did you disagree? Okay, I know what you mean. I know that there are different levels of drinking, yeah? There are people that they are hardcore. And people that they are low-core. Okay, yeah, okay. You know, there's a difference between low-frying and deep-frying. You are frying it softly. Praise the Lord. I didn't say you won't go to heaven. Don't misunderstand me. I didn't say that. I only said you are frying it what? Softly. There was a man like that in the UK. Because of alcoholism, he lost his liver, you know. Packed up. Failed. Liver failure. He was on waiting list. True story. I read in the news. Waiting list for replacement. Eventually, after 1 or 2 years, he got a liver or replacement. Not long after. What did he start again? He started drinking. You know what happened? His wife left him. His wife left him because he said, this guy is going to kill himself. Praise the Lord. Yes, were you going to say something? Did you want to? I'm not forcing you.
What if they don't know it's bad for them? They don't know they're sinning against their own body?
What will happen to somebody who doesn't know that sinning against their body is bad for them? Let's just practically. They keep doing something that is harming their body and damaging their body, but they don't know that it's damaging them. What will happen to them eventually?
Well, it's going to pack up, but why wouldn't they know?
Well, that's a big question. Told you. Yeah. Why would they know?
Because there will be signs. You fall sick. You are not functioning well. You don't function well. So
I just like your plain answer. It's just very direct. Why?
By law.
By law.
It is written in
is it UK law or spiritual law?
No, in the common law.
Yeah, okay.
Not by God's law. Most of those things are written that when you drink, they are harmful for the body.
Yes, but they may have never read it. Or they may read it and not understand it. Because what they understand is that this thing is pleasurable.
Yeah, but the simple thing is, if you drink something and it takes you out of control,
yes,
you must know that it's killing you.
Yeah, but it's pleasurable, brother.
It's pleasurable, but it's taking you out of control.
Yeah, you're making a point. I just wanted to give my simple answer. If you keep doing something to your body that is damaging your body and you don't know, you know what will happen eventually? You will die. Whether you know or not. You will what? Even if you're a Christian, even if they've prophesied over your life that you'll be the bishop of Rome, you will never be.
Praise the Lord. Let me just finish on this note. I'm not giving you a message of condemnation. I'm giving you enlightenment. God, we are empowering you. The reason why is the worst of the sins against your body is that sexual immorality opens up both your body and your soul and your spirit to disease. Not just body. In sexual immorality, anything can be transferred. Spirit level or emotional level or physical level. That's why some people end up with soul ties. It's about the problem. If someone can commit something, like someone is possessed, they can share. It's all sharing. They share it. They can share disease, physical disease, or emotional disease, or spiritual disease. The reason is this. As a child of God, God has sealed your body with a spiritual integrity. Hallelujah. Such a immorality breaks that integrity and allows something that should not flow to flow. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, we should flee sexual immorality. Can I finish on this and just explain to you before somebody gets me confused? I like to define sexual immorality as having physical intimacy with anyone you are not married to. Anyone you are not what? Married. Now, I'm taking it for that so you understand. Now, if physical intimacy can be physical or mental. But it's with who? With anyone you are not married to. You need to understand that immorality has to do with another person. Amen? I need to just make you understand that. Let me say it this way. If mentally you do not engage yourself fantasizing about another person, you cannot be guilty of sexual immorality. Hello? Physical intimacy itself is not evil. It's a good and perfect gift from the Father. It's His idea. Hallelujah. It's, in fact, physical intimacy is holy. That's why the devil came to corrupt it. You with me? When physical intimacy happens within marriage, it's worship. God is happy. You think God is angry? He's happy. Because it's His idea. Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible says, that even husband and wife, yeah, you are, once you sign up to this business, you must perform your duties, except if it's for prayer and fasting. And even prayer and fasting, you cannot go it alone. Don't tell me you're a spiritual woman, and you went prayer and fasting, you must have agreement with your husband. Except you agree. Praise the Lord. The reason why is that if you don't do that, the devil is there to come and take advantage of you. And if the devil takes advantage of your spouse, they've taken advantage of you. Praise the Lord. So we need to be very careful about these things. But I'm just want to say this. I'm running up there. Physical intimacy is not evil. It's just that it only belongs to what? Marriage. If you do it outside marriage, you know what you're doing? You are driving otherwise than in accordance with a license. I know you can drive, but you're not allowed to do what? Drive without what? License. If you drive without license, what will happen to you? One, legal penalty. And two, insurance invalidated. You know the insurance invalidated is your body insurance. Amen? Sexual immorality invalidates the spiritual insurance of your body. At that moment, the devil can do anything to you. He can hurt something to you. Give you a little demon. Praise the Lord. Are you understanding me? Physical intimacy is not evil. I just want to finish on this and say, there is no immorality until another person is involved. Mentally or physically. You need to understand that. I don't want to confuse people here or young people. Amen? It is when it involves another person. Physically or mentally. That is what. Immoral. Let's stop there. Time has run out. Let's pray. The prayer to God is to understand that my body is what? A temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, when people are called to say that marriage, they're no longer confident spiritually. You know?
They're no longer, they think that, oh, maybe God doesn't love me anymore. The devil comes and tries to play with their mind. Can you see? So that's why you don't want to even go there. You want to stay. And you know, if you are very strong, get married. Praise the Lord. Marriage is a good thing. If you don't have money, come and see me. We will organize you a free wedding. Hallelujah. A free what? All expenses paid. We have some able people in this church who can facilitate everything. You won't pay nothing. You just come in your white gown. Hallelujah. Go ahead and pray to God. Say, God, I rededicate my body to you. My body is your temple. Now, you may not understand it. It also affects what you put on. Every time you put on something that is showing private parts of your body, you are telling somebody out there that you are available. You may not mean it, but that's what you are saying. It's a seducing spirit at work. So because my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, what I do with my body, what I put on my body, matters. He said the Lord cares. He cares. You may not care, but the Lord cares. So I want you to rededicate yourself to God and say, God, I will honor you with my body and with my spirit. This is very important. You're a vessel. That's why I confess myself. As I'm a vessel unto honor. I didn't tell you I'm not tempted. I'm a human being. Yeah? But I'm a vessel unto honor. I want to use that body for righteousness. I don't want to be in a state whereby I'm ashamed and I've lost confidence and I'm just looking, just managing through. I'm still making the impression, but I've just lost it. No! And if you've been caught up in such a thing, there is forgiveness and healing. And you can pick it up and walk with God. He will help you. God is always there to help you. So rededicate yourself and say, God, I offer you my body again. I rededicate it to you. It's your temple. I want to honor you with my body. I want to use my body for good works. I want to use my body to serve you. I want to use my body to serve you. I want to use my body to serve you, not to serve sin. I offer you my body. Wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. Give me the grace to discipline my mind and to discipline my body. And of course, the discipline of your mind starts from what you are watching and what you are seeing. And that's why I'm still saying again, what you put on matters. Because what you put on may not affect you, it affects somebody else. And they will end up in the wrong thing, watching the wrong thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory we have over the spirit of seduction. Thank you for this victory we have over the spirit of idolatry. Thank you for this victory we have over the spirit of immorality. We declare every such power broken in our lives. The power of seduction, the power of idolatry, the power of immorality, we declare it broken in the name of Jesus. We receive grace and strength. This is not condemnation. We receive grace and strength to use this body for good health and good works. Every day, we must do good work. Every day, we must do good work. Starting from our homes, we receive grace and strength to do it. In Jesus' name. And the church said, praise the Lord.